I guess without any further ado, I'm going to turn the floor over to Flynn, Michael Flynn, and he'll talk a bit and take your questions.
Everything I've got to say was just summarized in Reuben's poem. And my PC is Gerald Armstrong tonight. And I have with me also tonight Laurel Sullivan, who some of you may know is L. Ron Hubbard's former personal PR representative. Laurel is right here.
Oh, there you are. I didn't recognize you.
Well, last time I spoke for about 3 hours, and I told you what I was doing. I don't know how many of you were present then and are present tonight. There's been a lot of things that have occurred since, and I understand that my name has been bandied about in a lot of different contexts, particularly the context of the Heber Gentz affidavit, and a lot of questions have been raised. So I responded by affidavit to Heber Gentz, and I told Valerie that if any of you had any questions, you're free to ask them. Now, since I've already basically given you my perspective on the situation, which I did for 3 hours, I won't reiterate that. But Valerie said an interesting thing at the outset. She said that I'm doing one thing and a lot of you people are doing something else. Well, I take issue with that statement. See, I think since you were probably brave enough to come here tonight at the risk of being photographed, if the RTC is still doing that, then you probably had enough of an inquisitive intellect to determine what I'm doing. And if that's where you're coming from, then I would say we're doing the same thing. Because what I'm doing is representing people who, for the most part, are just like yourself. Now, they're people who were some of the closest people and the greatest devotees that L. Ron Hubbard ever had, such as Gerald Armstrong and Laurel Sullivan. And as some of you may know, Laurel started working with him sometime in 66 or 67 at the age of 17. So I'm representing people who initially started out on a road that they thought went a particular direction. And they thought that the events, incidents, and situations they would meet along that road would be of a certain character based on certain representations that were made to them. And when they found that those things weren't that way, they contacted, after a period of time, they contacted me. And the types of things they told me, as I told you in my last little talk, covered a wide variety of situations, which I'm not going to try to get into tonight. But, you know, I've had people contact me, parents whose children are now dead, they believe because of things that the church did to them. Parents who've lost their children who haven't seen them in 15 years. Kids who ended up in institutions for a period of time. People who were financially ripped off, as indicated in Reuben's poem. People who lost years of their lives, lost careers, left college, left university. And they did it for the most part because they believed that, as I indicated, certain representations had been made to them and they were going to go in a particular direction. And once they found out that what was represented wasn't really true, which is really supposedly the heart of the tech, to confront and to find what's true. So all of you who are engaged in the tech and who bothered to come out here tonight are obviously trying to find that out. Well, notwithstanding everything you've heard, that's what I've been trying to find out for 5 years, too. And almost all my clients are Scientologists. And I have found that what is true is oftentimes conflicting and gets lost in the miasma of jurisprudence and courtrooms and judges' rulings and representations of lawyers and witnesses who have gone to witness school and done TR-L, how to outflow false data effectively. So sometimes you got to really search. And if you just accept the PR line, which Laurel disseminated for 10 years, and you stop your search there, in my judgment, in my humble judgment, you don't find what's true. Because what I've found in searching for 5 years and spending to date about $450,000 is that a lot of the representations were just bullshit. And the parts that people found true were parts that were hidden in the tech. And those parts were, to my simple way of thinking, very simple things. And they didn't require $60,000 to do the OT levels. They were very, very simple things. And for those people that came out of the church and came to me who had various complaints, for the most part, initially at least, they always said, well, you know, the tech is good, and this was valid, and that was valid. And over a period of time, I found that a lot of different people had a lot of different viewpoints on what was valid in the tech and what wasn't valid. And the more I researched it and checked into it, the more I basically found, as I've indicated, that there were some basics that I think have validity. But that's just my opinion, which has got nothing to do with really what the lawsuits are about, which is what I told you last time I spoke to you. And a number of questions were asked of me as to what, you know, whether we were attacking freedom of religion and First Amendment rights and that type of thing. The lawsuits have to do with fraud. It's that simple. And some of it's just flagrantly and blatantly outrageous fraud. And just the very simple fact that you'd have to pay $60,000 to get what is your birthright. I mean, it's ridiculous, in my humble view. I mean, I've listened to 2,000 people come to my office, call me on the phone in 5 years, and I've heard the victims. So where I'm coming from is very important for you people to know. You people have, for the most part, I assume, engaged in some degree of pursuing the tech, and you found gains. You've had wins. And it's no wonder that you'd have wins. Anyone who confronts their own little lies to themselves has huge wins, because then they don't lie to themselves anymore, and they see a little more reality. So I've always found that to be a major gain or a major favorable aspect of what you people are doing. But what has come to me, you see, in where I come from, is 5 years of horror stories. In 5 years of people who've been ripped off, who've lost careers, who've been subjected to GO operations that would boggle your mind. So, in my mind, particularly when I started out, and as I went through in my last talk, I gave a little explanation of how I got involved, and all of a sudden this organization is descending upon me and doing all of these things which are positively outrageous. They simply shouldn't be done. And there's no, if they've got nothing to hide, there's no reason to do them. So I pursued it, and as I pursued it, more victims came. More people who had been ripped off, who had been subjected to GO operations, who were just plain taken advantage of, who were told one thing, and once they proceeded a certain distance along the path, they learned that what they were told wasn't exactly true. So initially in their conscience, which I'll throw out to you, may be the reactive mind, but that's a different issue. In their conscience, they might have said, well, this isn't quite true initially. There's a little deviation here. This isn't quite what was represented, and now what's being delivered is not what quite I was told, but I got this win and I got this win, so I'll forget about that. In what I have found, the learning curve that I have found among staff members who've been involved for a long time, such as Gerald or Laurel, is that the deceit piled up. They accumulated. The little self-lies that were supposed to have been dissipated in the auditing processes not only were not dissipated, and when they became dangerous lies, then the security checks started if you were a staff member. And as the lies piled up, the person was willing to accept less and less of the truth to keep some myth going, which had no basis in reality. It had no basis in what you see, taste, hear, touch, the way things are. Even this pure intuitive cognition, it had no basis in reality. So as these lies piled up, and many people who came to see me who had been involved for 17 years, and they all of a sudden got whacked in the side of the face and said, well, wait a minute. You know, I went from A to M all the time trying to find out what's true. I let my mind deviate a little bit all the way along just to accept the party line, accept the church line, just to keep their direction going. Well, that's what I've seen. And I've seen piled up lies and piled up manipulation of human mind. Now, you may sit out there and say, well, my mind hasn't been manipulated. I mean, I did the grades and I did this, and I didn't think my mind was manipulated, and I got all these gains. Well, maybe yours hasn't been. But let me suggest one thing. If you happen to have paid, say, $10,000 for a certain amount of courses, if you really, if those courses were really worth, on a legitimate human value, one person to one person, an auditor such as Valerie, with one person legitimately being counseled, on a fair exchange of what the value was to get that counseling, assuming the validity of the counseling, then you probably didn't get ripped off. You probably got what you bargained for. And I would have no quarrel, and I would not be involved in this. But where the lies built up and crept in, so that over a period of time, you found it acceptable to pay $10,000 for what was worth $500, because, you know, maybe you got needy inside for the tech. And who knows? For every one of you is probably different. Then that's where I see the twist with the hook in there that was inappropriate. You don't take advantage of people who need something. If they need something, you give them a fair exchange. You don't take advantage of them. And the more the hook has been sunk in, then the less you should take advantage of them. Then the more you should be benevolent. The more you should be helping them to feel less needy, feel less willing to pay $10,000, so they confront more and are less subject to having to run down and get audited every time they have a headache. And the reverse should be occurring. And when the reverse is not occurring, and there's a greater falling prey to this money machine, then that's wrong. It's that simple in my mind. It's that clear cut. And people who are coming in and saying that, you know, I just lost $150,000. And, you know, I was trying to weave my way through this, and I was being reg. And at the time it seemed to make sense. But, you know, in retrospect, when I really look at the exchange, I got screwed. Well, assuming the people who were doing this knew what they were doing. They knew what they were doing. And if they knew that, they shouldn't have led you down a path where they allowed you to be taken advantage of. And this has got nothing to do with the validity of the tech. I mean, assuming that there are basic aspects of the tech that I agree with that are valid, that are worth a fair exchange. to build a big money machine, and then to build organizations that attack and suppress other people because they have disagreements, when you feel like you've got to intimidate people because they feel ripped off, and maybe they're going to go down to the VA, or maybe they're going to go to the Attorney General, or maybe they're going to go to Flynn. So you have to build a big organization to suppress him. And that's not legitimate. That doesn't make sense. That's not right. I mean, if people are ripped off, they should be able to go to court. They should be able to hire lawyers. They should be able to have their voices heard. And so that's basically what I'm doing. I assume that that's what you people are doing when you walk into an auditing session. The only reason the organization has attacked me so much is because, and I'm not tapping myself on the shoulder here, I stood up. One person walked in and said, hey, I got ripped off and I want to look into this. So I helped her. As soon as I did that, they attacked me. And they've continued to attack me. And I can tell you 98%, you can ask me all the questions you want, 98% of the nonsense you've heard is false. I mean, I'm a typical human being. I have my problems. I have my foibles. I make my mistakes. But, you know, believe me, I'm not from Xenon trying to, I'm not implanted. And, you know, that's a myth. That's taken advantage of to feed into maybe gullible minds. Maybe none of you people have gullible minds. Maybe you just had good gains, valid, you thought tech was valid, nothing wrong with that. But maybe there are a lot of kids that are gullible out there. Maybe there are kids who were hooked on dope or hooked on this whose minds are a lot more susceptible. They'd be a lot more willing to put a gun in their hand and go shoot someone if they were told to do it. So when you're dealing with that fragility of that degree of fragility of the human mind, you've got a big responsibility. And the responsibility, I submit to you, does not lay in charging them $60,000 for the OT level. I mean, that in itself reflects where those, you know, allegedly responsible people are coming from. So, you know, my message is that simple. I represent people who in my perspective and in their perspective say they were ripped off. And, you know, as you know, we're about to start this Armstrong trial. I've been out here for 3 weeks, and it's very unusual for a plaintiff, which is the church is suing Jerry, as you know, to get these documents back. And I'm not going to talk about the documents tonight, but they're suing Jerry because he was appointed by LRH to collect documents for a biography project to be written by Omar, and he collected them, and Laurel was his senior, and they found that what was in the documents wasn't quite what was represented to you people. So he then left, and they attacked Jerry strongly, viciously, because he had some data. He had some data that they did not want you people to hear. So they sued him. His case is about to start. I've been out here for 3 weeks, and they've been trying to delay it because the court has made some rulings which are very favorable to Jerry, extremely favorable. So now they're backpedaling. They've moved for a continuance, and they're trying to figure out what they're going to do next. But that's basically what I get to say. I'm here to have questions fired at me. So fire the questions. I'll be nailed to the cross of Scientology technology.
The rulings that the court has made that have been favorable to Jerry, what are they? Can you tell us that?
Okay, well, this is going to sound very self-serving. And let me knock on wood before I give you the answers, because I hope they'll continue. Basically, the very first day, they wanted to suppress all the documents from coming into evidence, so the public wouldn't see them, you people wouldn't see them, the media wouldn't see them. And they wanted to exclude the media from the courtroom. And if any document did come into evidence, they wanted it sealed and then burned at the end of the proceeding. And so their lawyer argued for about 3 hours, Barry Litt, and we argued for 2 or 3 hours. And the judge took a break and came back and said, no, the public's got a right to see them. They're coming into evidence. And, you know, we'll take it on a document-by-document basis, but their motion was denied. That was a big issue for them. The next day they came in and they had about 22 or 3 motions. And the motions involved trying to keep the evidence of the shredding operation, you know, all the shredding that went on. I don't know how much you know about that. Yeah, yeah. When there was a threat of a raid in 1979, 1980, I won't get into it, but they shredded 300,000-500,000 documents. And so they wanted to keep that evidence from coming in. That was, they lost that. Then they wanted to keep the evidence of the fair game doctrine and its application, particularly as it relates to Jerry and to me and to others from coming in. They lost that. Then they wanted to keep SP declares, particularly Jerry's and what he was accused of from coming into evidence. And mind you now, I mean, just attach your minds to this logic. They issue the declare accusing Jerry of all these things, saying he's a thief and this and that and the other thing. They issue it. So theoretically, in front of the jury or the judge or whatever, you know, it's going to make Gerald Armstrong look bad. He says he's a thief, he did this, he did that, he's the most evil, he's as evil as Flynn is. And we're trying to put it into evidence. We're trying to get the judge, the jury, the fact finders to see it, come to grips with it, find out what it's about. They're trying to exclude it. And they wrote it. I mean, that gives you a little... So they lost that. And then they wanted to keep out evidence of all the tortious wrongdoing of Mary Sue and Ron and the church, and they lost that. And they wanted to keep out all the misrepresentations made about Hubbard's biographical background, and they lost that. And they wanted to keep out of evidence Mary Sue Hubbard's felony conviction, and they lost that. There was a whole group of things that kind of fall into that category. And basically, most of the rulings went in our favor.
What could they use to support any of those motions? I mean, do they have anything to stand on, do you think? I mean, they lost already, but...
Yeah.
What arguments?
You know, to be fair in my answer, they could stand up here and argue for hours on what they think are the reasons why some stuff should come into evidence or shouldn't come into evidence. In my judgment, do you think the fair game doctrine is something that, for instance, what they argued in the fair game doctrine, they said it's a religious doctrine. This is the whole basis of their defense, for example, in the fair game doctrine. They said it's a religious doctrine. You know, I'm talking about lie, to, sue, cheat, and destroy.
Right.
Religious doctrine, protected by the doctrines of the Church of Scientology, with a religious interpretation, protected by the First Amendment, and that no civil court has the right to inquire into the truth or falsity of religious doctrine. Well, on that, that was their argument. On shredding, their argument was that it was irrelevant because the circumstances under which Jerry came into possession of the documents, and I don't know how many of you know what was happening. They were shredding some 300,000 or 400,000 documents. And when they were shredding them, they found these boxes of documents that go back to the 1940s. And Jerry's junior, Brenda Black, came to him and said, you know, what do we do with this? Does this go in the shredder? Jerry went to Laurel and said, what should we do with them? He said, no, we got to save these. But they would have gone in the shredder. So the evidence, we said the relevance is that they're in the middle of the shredding operation. And the reason they're shredding everything is they don't want to show any connection between Hubbard and the church, which is the reason the shredding operation took place. And, you know, which is ridiculous. I mean, everyone knows that he's run the church. But that's the PR line. So that was their argument, that the shredding shouldn't come into evidence because it was irrelevant, and the circumstances under which Jerry came into possession of the documents should not be put before the jury. You know, all kinds of arguments like that. That's why they lost most of them. They're ridiculous.